Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Welcome, everybody, to the most exciting show on Earth. When you have new equipment and new changes, it's always exciting. So I want to thank everyone for coming into the chat room tonight. I see lots of new folks, and it's really, really nice. And I want to say hi to Brian. Thanks for dropping by. Mystery Cat, Michelle, Torty Prism. Amanda's there. Hey, Amanda, what's up? And I know the deputies are here. I saw Brenda. Hi, Brenda. And I think Holly Mom is there. Hi, Holly Mom.
Yep.
And let's see, Shannon's there. Hi, Shannon.
Shannon's there.
And
I saw a Michelle. I don't believe I've seen Michelle
and
before.
Slay Cat Art is there. Hey. Yeah. Marlene is there.
Amanda.
What's up? Yep.
Jennifer's here. Guinevere.
Yep.
Marlene.
Great, great.
Rose Angel. Noni.
Hey, Noni's here. Hey, yeah. What's up? Hey.
Deputies. Karen from Maryland.
Hey, Karen.
Mystery Cat.
Yep.
Tori Prism. Tyler's here for
hey,
a while.
Hey, Tyler. And I saw Mason in there, too. Hey, Mason.
Yeah, Mason's in there.
That's really cool, man.
Abby Richards. Big Brian.
Yep.
Let's see. We got
this is great,
big
man.
Big crowd today.
Ah, this is fantastic, because I've heard you guys on your voicemails, and it's really neat to have you guys here in the chat room tonight. So it's fantastic.
It is pretty cool.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Thank
Even
you for
if you're
sharing.
Not Irish.
Yeah, well, everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
That is true.
Thanks.
I am actually Irish, though.
I am, too.
Yeah, I know.
But I think I'm Italian because I talk with my hands, and I don't know. I don't get drunk and get in fights, so I don't know. I don't think I'm really Irish.
Irish people don't get drunk and get in fights all the
That's
time?
That's what every comedian on Earth says.
Oh, yeah, so. But yeah, whatever.
Anyhow, but
it's also our nephew's birthday today.
And which nephew would that be?
Elijah. He's 10.
Elijah. Okay.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Man,
kid number 4.
Growing up so fast.
Yep.
I remember when he was 2, he had a little difficulty on Christmas morning.
We thought he wasn't going to make it to 3.
No,
He was a little brat.
No, I...
But he's grown out of that.
I had to pray real hard to get over that because I was...
Yep. 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 Yeah, so anyway.
Anyway, well, happy birthday to him. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this evening. This is not the Roni Family Hour, and it's not even really St. Patty's Day. But we'll
No, it is St. Patrick's Day.
Well, we'll talk about it, but I mean, it's really not about
That's
that.
That's not what we're here for.
So we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time, the fantastic, wonderful show on ABC. And we're going to be reading some great emails. And I'm telling you, there are some barn burner emails tonight. And Manny Man's here. What's up, Manny?
Yep.
And my lovely wife has her new laptop.
Yep.
So she
so I'm
is
able
to
be in the chat room and watch. So bear with me if I kind of like go, I'm reading what you guys are posting. So
yep.
Trying to anyway and listen. So anyway.
So when she's typing... It's going to be a kind of a rumble, so I'll set up another mic for us that's a little better that sits on the floor. So
Yeah.
We're working it all out. So it's a work in progress as always. But we're still kind of reeling from that fantastic episode last Sunday.
Actually met somebody who she liked this. She liked this one. She didn't care for Dreamy.
Yeah.
We thought for a while, though, she kept saying she didn't like this last one. We're like, what did you not like about this last episode? It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And we're like, okay, you're talking about Red and the Wolf. She goes, oh, no, the one before it.
Right.
So we're like going to have to smack her because I'm sorry. It was a great episode.
No, we don't smack people.
Yeah, she's a friend. We can smack
anyway,
her.
Anyway, this is a bit off topic, but it is kind of cool. Did I say topic? I haven't been drinking, I swear. So we went to Trader Sam's last night, which is near Disneyland. It's at the Disneyland Hotel. Uh-huh. And we visited a little bit with Mr. Paul Berry, who does mm-hmm. a Window to the Magic podcast.
Yep.
And so we had a good time talking there. His wonderful wife, Terry, and the wonderful people there. It was Calvin's birthday. And we had a cool time. And so we were leaving. And as we were leaving, we kind of turned around out the exit there, and I heard the voice, and I said, that's Anthony Daniels. Only one voice like that.
Now, for those who don't know who Anthony Daniels might be.
Oh, just ask in the chat room. Does anyone know who Anthony Daniels is in the chat room? We'll just wait just a moment.
Somebody must know who he is.
Yeah.
There we go. We got a few people. Okay, good.
So,
well, you'd be surprised how many people are, because I have a friend who's really good with, she knows movies, she knows characters, she knows, but she couldn't tell you who the people who act in them are.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. So I turned around and I looked up at the doorway and man, it was just like, you know, do I go up and say hello? And I say, you know, he's probably going to get something to eat or maybe a little adult beverage or something. And I don't want to bother him. But it was just so neat. And we are really so fortunate to live so close to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And you just keep your eyes open and do that. So anyway, I just wanted to, kind of cool. So tomorrow we're going to go to WonderCon. And it's been a long time since we've been to any con. Comic or Star Wars Celebration or anything.
Yeah, so. In fact, the last Celebration. Oh, no, not the last one. The second to last one, we were in Indianapolis for that one. That was Celebration 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4. Yeah, 3 or 4.
Three, I think it was, and then 4 was in L.A. when we went.
Right,
took the train. But anyway,
so
we're going to WonderCon.
So yeah, WonderCon tomorrow. And we're going to brave the rain, so we're going to rent a boat. And we'll boat over to Anaheim, and we will be having fun with the rest of the millions of people that'll be there and sit in. And from what I understand, we will get to see the Heart of Darkness a few hours before
it airs.
It airs on the West Coast. So we'll feel like we're East Coasters or something.
Again.
So
that's pretty awesome.
Anyhow, it's going to be really neat. And the price was good, so I was happy about that. So I think I may buzz over there early, get a nice seat, because I want to be right down front this time.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I don't want to sit in the back.
So yeah, you're gonna have to get up early and go.
I will do that. So I don't know where Shannon was sitting. We never really got to know that.
No, we couldn't figure out
during
where
the
Shannon
Paley Center.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you'd like to say Shannon, that's fine. We don't have to, but I mean, if you were sitting in the balcony or something. So
spoiled podcasters.
No, it's just we have the opportunity and you know, normally things happen in New York or somewhere
that
else.
That is true.
Florida. So.
San Francisco, you know. Yeah. And that's easier to get to, but it's not convenient. It's not like right around the corner. So
yeah. So anyhow,
San Diego is not even really that convenient, but anyway.
We will try to do some audio booths and all that. I was very surprised that they were very cool with it. I didn't see anyone kind of running over and saying, you can't do that.
Yeah, I know. Shannon said she was on the left side. We were in the balcony. We were towards the back, though.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay.
We have a new person in there, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. And very happy to have you. So, okay. I think that was... I also wanted to kind of bring up again the Once Upon a Time fan podcast meetup in September. It's going to be the 15th and 16th of September and at Disneyland. So we're putting the plans together now, and that was one of the reasons why I talked to Paul last night to kind of pick his brain, because he's done the meetups a number of times before. So it's going to be really cool. So
yeah,
first one, and if nothing else, we get to see the place where a lot of these fairy tales were brought to life. I think for a lot of kids, I mean, outside of movies
and
all that, but you know, just something special about Disneyland and fairy tales. So
that's true.
That's going to be really neat. So I think that's it, unless you can think of
hey Mason
anything else.
Apparently I'm now queen. Did you know that?
Wow, I did not know that.
I'm apparently queen now.
Have I changed my position around here?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
Because the evil queen seems to be
are
in
you the sheriff?
Charge.
Are you still the sheriff?
I am whatever you want me to be.
Well, apparently. Apparently you, but you are the sheriff.
Well, the
right?
evil queen's in charge. There's not a man around except for maybe Rumpelstiltskin. That
oh, dude,
kind of
don't even get me started on that.
Okay. So
apparently you're King Jeff.
Okay, I'm glad there's still king around somewhere. So all the kings seem to die. It's kind of sad.
And I'm the benevolent queen.
Well, that's nice. All right.
Right into the chat room.
So the pre-dark curse and problem
yes,
queen.
Yes.
That's good.
That's it.
Okay, so I'm going to read an email from Ryan. Hey, Ryan. It says, hey, guys. In your first thoughts, you mentioned Ruby saying she could hear something. I seem to recall her doing something like this when the abandoned mine collapsed on Dr. Hopper and Henry. I could be wrong, but worth taking another look. Thanks for your great podcast, Ryan. And that's a great point.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay. All right.
So I'm just
Very
saying.
Good.
I'm just saying.
Thanks so much, Ryan. And, you know, as the show moves forward, I mean, it was kind of easy at first, because if you had like three or four episodes, it was kind of easy to watch three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got like 15.
I know.
So it's kind
tough.
Of hard to,
it is tough
to do that.
Yeah.
But,
but now that we've, I mean, as many people as remember all the stuff, the details from, you know, each episode, it's easier to kind of catch up and stuff.
Yep. Thanks, Ryan, so much. And this email is from Lori. It says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. Haven't emailed in a while since I have been busy. Lori, we totally understand, but so glad that you emailed. A while back, the statement was made about the cabin in the woods being used by different people for different reasons. It reminded me of the Room of Requirement from Harry Potter. And I will admit, I am not a Harry Potter. I've not read all the books. We've seen all the movies, but it's really kind of hard to get it all.
We haven't seen the last two.
Yes, man. Anyway.
No, we need to. But anyway.
So, anyway, I'll let that kind of sit, because I don't know.
What was the statement
again? The Room of Requirement is like the... cabin in the woods that Mr. Gold was in, and David and Mary Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not...
shared a moment.
So. I'm not as versed in Harry Potter as some folks might be. I liked it, but I'm just not as versed. Anyway.
As Jeff said in First Thoughts for the Red-Handed episode, Ruby's clothing and style changed from the beginning of the episode to the end. When I saw that, my thought was that she had grown up. Her previous style was that of a teenage girl, and at the end, she looked like a young lady who knew who she was. I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Totally
definitely.
Agree.
Definitely.
I think what was great about her role was that a lot of weight is being put on the people in Storybrooke knowing who they are in the book, right?
Right.
And so that's kind of been the focus, and that really gives little keys to unlock ultimately the dark curse and that kind of a thing. But it was really neat to see someone in Storybrooke that outside of the book knew who she was inside and what she was capable of just as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that point is well made.
Oh,
that,
very much
that,
so.
Yeah.
She definitely looked different. I don't even think I remember her wearing her, I don't think her lipstick was even as bright red as normally was. So, and the red was gone from her hair. She looked like a very lovely young lady. Just, you know.
And Nat is here. Hey, Nat, what's going on?
Hey.
Howdy, howdy. Thanks for joining. And I will continue. As far as the thought that Red would know Peter was her true love when she was in her wolf form and would not hurt him, my thought is that Peter was not her true love. She was more in love with the idea of the freedom to make her own choices rather than actually being in love with Peter. What do you think?
I actually agree. Because I think if he was her true love, I don't think she would have. Because remember, Granny was turned by the wolf. You know, he came back after her later, mm-hmm. and they ended up together and had a daughter. So I kind of think that if she, even in her wolf form, if she really thought he was her true love, she wouldn't have attacked him.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have killed him. That's just me.
Okay.
I think she's maybe going to have somebody else that may be her true love later, but I don't think it will be. It's definitely not Peter.
I don't want to go too kind of far psychologically, but I do want to say this is sometimes people help us get to our true love, but they are not that.
Right.
So
that's true.
In a way, I think Peter helped Red kind of get the courage to go out and to be free. I think you know, it proves the point that Laurie's making here. So anyhow.
Yeah.
And finally, each of the people in Storybrooke seem to be out of place. That's a very interesting term. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like they're like a puzzle, and there's little pieces, and to get them to fit, you have to kind of turn things around, and then you can push things together. So I think that's kind of what's happening, and I think the book is a part of it, and I think when they interact with each other and talk to each other and that kind of a thing, that it'll begin to fall into place. Emma is helping them find their place, and that's another thing, is Emma is really involved in that process.
Yeah.
So, great point. She helped Hansel and Gretel become reunited with their father. That's a great one. She helped Ashley keep her baby and become reunited with her prince. Another great one.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's helped Ruby discover that she was happy at the restaurant with Granny. She helped Ruby find her place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we will see one big event that Emma does to break the curse. But I think that it's all of these little things Emma does to help people find their place that will break the curse. And I totally agree. There was a great email a while back that said, I think the curse will be broken when they have found that they're happy wherever they are. And they don't mm-hmm. have to go back. And
that's
and,
possible.
And they deal with the realities of life. And everything doesn't have to be perfect. So.
Yeah. And we have we've had a couple people who have unfortunately had to go. So
okay.
Tyler had to leave, and I think Karen was also needing to go.
Okay.
But we have Red Shoes now.
Excellent.
So hello,
hi, Michelle. Hey, hey, welcome, welcome. This is an email from Shauna. It says, "Hi Jeff and Colleen. My name is Shauna. I'm from Indiana, and I really enjoy your podcast. This is my first email to any podcast. I should get a little sound.
I know,
because I love it when people say, this is my first podcast I've ever listened to. I also love it when this is my first podcast I've ever followed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love even more when they say, this is the first podcast I've ever either called a voicemail into
mm-hmm.
or emailed.
Yep.
Because
it's pretty cool.
It's great.
It is pretty cool.
Love to see it. So, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on a theory of mine. Everyone is making speculations on August possibly being the 7-year-old child that found Emma. My theory is that he is a 7-year-old child, and he's also Pinocchio. It has been many years since I've seen Pinocchio, but wasn't he carved from an enchanted tree? Maybe this is why he's protected from the curse. Curious on your thoughts of this theory. Keep up the great work, Shauna." Thank you so much, Shauna, for the email.
And yes.
That's
been my theory for a little while.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
I totally agree mm-hmm. with you. That's where I mean, there's so much to support that. I mean, and again, we kind of talked about this a little bit on Thursday, our Thursday podcast, but what he said to Ruby in the diner, he talked about Nepal and he talked about the prayer wheels and the temples. And that's true. That's absolutely correct. And then he talked about lemurs being in Nepal. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Lemurs don't live in Nepal. They are indigenous to Madagascar. Yeah. So the fact that he lied to her, now, whether he lied out of not knowing or whether he made that story up just to have something to talk to her about. See, that to me is like the kind of a thing that, you know, do you remember way back in the day, John Lovitz had a character on Saturday Night Live. He was the pathological liar. And he would say, yeah, my wife, Sharon Stone, did it. I mean, he would, and it was like clearly, blatantly, but he would say it in such a way that he'd say facts that were true. And then he'd start throwing in all these lies. So kind of, I'm convinced that that's like a little hint to point us that he is Pinocchio.
Right.
And that he is somehow outside the curse because of the fact that he can come and go as he pleases. Mm. Unless he lied and he's been hiding somewhere in the woods all along. So anyway.
Well, that's another possibility. Kaylee the Pete's here. Hey, Kaylee.
Hey.
Welcome. And yes, now I totally agree that was a lie. Now, let me say this. Then if that's true, if he lies a lot,
yes,
then he lied about the water.
Correct.
But I don't think he lied about the water. Now, so
but here's the thing. Pinocchio didn't lie about everything. He lied about some things.
Okay, but what I'm saying is if we have to kind of pick and choose what he's lying about, then this really gets interesting. Because how do you know? You know?
Exactly.
Did he ever go to Nepal? We don't know. I mean, obviously that's a lie. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Could be.
Well,
but again, Pinocchio made up stories. He would say things that were somewhat true, and then he started lying about stuff.
Okay.
So, and it's not that everything he said was a lie. It was that he made up stories that sounded like they could be true, but then they really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very convinced that August Booth is Pinocchio. And he is the one who found Emma, and that's why he's grown up, because he was outside the curse, so he was able to grow up, as was Emma.
Yeah. Okay.
As was Henry.
Okay. So, yes. Good point. Excellent point. But we still kind of have the problem. If he is Pinocchio, when is he lying? When is he not? We still haven't seen
his nose
grow.
Is his nose really going to grow in real world?
I'm telling you.
I'm just saying. Because he was already a boy in fairy tale land.
Then that would fit in with our theory that magic stops.
Right.
At Storybrooke.
Right.
So if there was magical things that it stopped when they got to Storybrooke, however they got to Storybrooke.
Yeah.
So, poor evil queen has to shut doors now. She can't use her little kind of force power to shut doors.
No, she can't. So. She has to do everything manually. Yep. Slay Cat was asking, I thought Dr. Whale was Pinocchio. We think he might be Monstro.
There are theories aplenty. There are more theories out there than, you know. And so we're a little like Las Vegas.
Yep.
People are betting on everything. And someone's going to win. But it's just fun. So.
Yeah.
Shauna sent another email. Said, this is Shauna from Indiana again. Hey, Shauna, I was just thinking about August Wayne Booth. Another reason that he could be Pinocchio is his initials could be for a wooden boy.
Oh, good point.
I just had to send you that. It was an oh my God moment for me. Thanks for the podcast, Shauna. And I don't think I've ever heard that. If I spent my time listening to every podcast out there and reading every blog and every this and every that to kind of make sure, you know, one theory is on its own, I wouldn't be working. So, anyway, that's a great theory though. AWB, that works. So, but I love the way the writers kind of send you off on this trek to find out something, and especially just having the name August Wayne Booth. You should have seen the traffic to the site just when I had a post about with that name.
Oh,
people
yeah.
went crazy. So, yeah.
Because everybody wants to know, who is it? Who is it? Right. What does it mean?
What does it mean? What's the meaning? Right. And A Wooden Boy would be one of those things that you'd say, oh, it can't be that. But, I mean, it could be. So, anyway, thank you so much, Shauna.
Yeah, and actually, somebody just asked, I think it was Slay Cat, who just asked if Pinocchio was a wooden boy in the pilot. He was not. He was a real boy at that same time.
Yep.
So Blue Fairy had already turned him into a real boy at that point.
So I'm leaning out on a limb here, and I'm saying that the pilot kind of started after many of the magical things happened in the fairy tales. So the wooden boy would have happened before. A lot of the Snow White initially with the dwarves would have happened before the pilot. So anyway, a lot of the things that we kind of have seen magically happen have already happened in the pilot. Now, maybe in a flashback, we'll see. I mean, obviously, we did see Jiminy Cricket turn into...
Right.
Or Jiminy turn into a cricket.
Right.
But that was before. See?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, the pilot was not the beginning of the story. It was just kind of in the middle-ish. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anyway.
So, I am looking for...
We saw Geppetto's parents get turned into wood. Which was...
That's right.
Yeah, that was happened.
His mom was Purdy.
Whose mom?
She was Purdy. Geppetto.
Oh, okay.
Just saying. Okay, this is from Rayanne, Ray Bailey, 88, and I think she's in the chat room, maybe.
I haven't seen her post, so she may be listening, but not in the chat room.
Alrighty.
But I could be missing it, too, because it flashes really fast.
Says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. First off, I hope you guys are doing well and having a great week. I'm glad it's over. It was a wild week.
It was a long
week.
Yeah, and it's
We'll just leave it at that. There were a few things I've been itching to point out to you guys, but I haven't been able to get them all down. So here we go.
Okay.
And we are ready. I have been a longtime X-Files fan since the 90s, mm-hmm. while they were still on the air. So while you guys see through your Lost lenses, I tend to look through my X-Files lenses a lot of the time. The mythology of the show and the various actors they may bring on. The one thing I noticed, and I was talking about this with Sarah, Kaylee the Pete, was that Jane Espenson brought in Nicholas Lee to play Michael Tillman / the Woodsman in True North, the father of Hansel and Gretel. Mm-hmm. Nicholas is an X-Files veteran who played Alex Krycek for many of the early seasons of the show. X-Files was also being filmed the same time as Buffy, so I thought it was interesting that Jane chose to cast him for his role while also casting a Buffy alum for the Blind Witch. Just something else I noticed about how the show is actually put together in terms of structure. X-Files had their mythology episode, which dealt with the government alien conspiracy and the abduction of Dana Scully. Once also has their mythology episodes in terms of what episodes deal directly to the curse. Can I just say this for a minute? See, this is another difference of this podcast. This is why I love this podcast. This is why I love the listeners. This is why I love the emails and voicemails. The Lost ruined us. And it sounds also like X-Files ruined us as well.
Yeah, possibly.
I love a great story that has so many different layers. You can watch it 12 times and see different things. And Rayanne's pointing out something that is really, really cool, is that there's different parts to it. Some people love the romance. Mm-hmm. Some people love the relationships. Other people, like me, love thinking about, and Manny, and probably many other people, thinking about, wait a minute, the clock didn't move for 28 years? What did that mean? What's inside that book, or what's inside the library? Mm-hmm. And what are the other stuff in Mr. Gold's shop? See, that's why this show is so special, and that's why this show is so incredible, mm-hmm. is because there's so many different things going on. So many different kinds of people can get into it for different reasons.
Right.
And she's really just kind of breaking it down right here. And X-Files was another example mm-hmm. of that. So, anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you, thank you. I will find my place and continue, but
to continue. Da, da, da.
Once also has their mythology episodes in terms of what episodes deal directly to the curse, and allude to this beef with the evil queen has with Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's a great story arc that they've used.
Yes.
From the beginning.
It's true.
Also, X-Files had what they refer to as Monster of the Week episodes. And that's true. That kind of reminds me of Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
I knew you were going
I'm really
there.
Old. The agents would have a case where there was some monster, a terrible creature, that was committing crimes, and they were sent to solve the mystery. And there's a lot of mysteries in one. Yep. Once does this as well with their character development episodes. Not so much with monsters, but still a break from the mythology. Just a neat little comparison, I thought. Great one at that. And one final comparison, X-Files was filmed in Vancouver for 5 seasons, and I did not know that before it moved to permanent sets in California. Moving on from that, a little bit of trivia I noticed in Red Handed. In the Storybrook Pet Shelter, there are some photos on the wall behind the counter. One of those photos is of Jennifer Morrison's dog, Ava.
Oh.
And that's the name and the dog.
Interesting.
I thought this was a cute little inclusion. I'm assuming of all the other pictures of the animals probably belong to other folks on the set. I've included screen caps of little Ava for you guys to check out. And thank you so much. And it's really neat. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jeff and Colleen, for the amazing job you guys do with the show and for caring so much about your fans. It's not often you find a podcast where the hosts are so interactive with their listeners and really care about what goes on in their little community. You guys make this corner of the internet feel like home. Keep up the great work. Rayanne, we really appreciate it. And this is a great, great email because I love digging into the stories, and I know Manny does too, and we're story diggers. And there's probably a lot of other folks out there, but Michelle too. You know, with our good friend Jason Campbell, Joseph Campbell, and we have fun with that. So, really, really great.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? When I see you typing, I think maybe there's someone.
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool. The next email is from Hillary in Colorado. Hi, Hillary. Wow. I totally didn't see that coming. That's what made it awesome. Here's a few things I noticed about Red Handed. I'm sure you will have discussed some of these by now. They called her Widow Lucas. I think that's the first time we heard a name for her. I wonder if it's a nod to George Lucas. That's very interesting. You should bring that up. Possibly.
Me thinks that Eddie and Adam or one or both of them are Star Wars fans.
Yep.
It's kind of a thing they have in common with Damon Lindelof, too.
Yep. And I just saw Jennifer type in the hero's journey. So, yeah. I love the deep themes of stories. Okay, back to the email.
Yeah.
So it said here, in the fairy tale land, Granny, Red, and Peter all said gods, like my gods. And in Storybrooke, David said, my God, no big deal. Makes perfect sense that fairy tale time meant that they believed in more than one god. Polytheism. It's mm-hmm. probably there.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting that it was said so many times. Like we were supposed to really notice it. I wonder, and that's actually a good point, because sometimes when things are said once, you just kind of go, oh, okay. But if it's said a couple of times, there's actually reasons why.
There's meaning.
So isn't the Greek mythology, there are a number of gods. So, I mean, are they kind of leaning there too? Because I know that Battlestar Galactica had that kind of belief in multiple gods. So
yeah, actually.
But the Greek thing, I was kind of leaning towards because of the other parts of the stories that were Greek mythology.
I'm not seeing any really overt Greek mythology type things, but I know there's little things that have kind of come into play, you know. So I'm sure these folks are very well rounded, and I'm quite confident they've studied and they know the Greek mythology.
Yep.
So I'm pretty confident we'll see some. I mean, like Gnostos, that's it's a Greek word. So I'm just thinking.
Yep.
We'll see some stuff that'll kind of come into play later.
I wonder if everyone in Storybrooke automatically got converted to Christianity once they got there. They haven't really mentioned religions until the nuns. Mm-hmm. And Mary Margaret does wear a cross, I think. I wonder if there are Jews or Muslims or pagans in Storybrooke. And that's a very interesting question.
It is very interesting because, yeah, and actually kind of going back to the real quick Greek mythology, Noni was right because, yeah, King Midas, mm-hmm. that's Greek mythology right
yep.
there.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, they've pulled the characters and they pulled words and stuff. I don't see so much a lot of the it's not the forefront of the storytelling.
Right.
It's definitely there, but it's not the forefront.
The interesting thing is I remember initially when I brought up the fact that, you know, Sister Mary Margaret mm-hmm. wearing a cross, the original story was she was a sister.
Yes.
And I got a number, not a whole lot, but I got a number of emails like, you know, look, they're going to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's and it is kind of a tough path yeah. to walk. Anything religious is really kind of hard to play out on a major network without offending somebody.
Right,
so I get
right.
that, but
you never know. We may see some other religions pop up or belief systems pop up. You never know.
It is gutsy to go mm-hmm. there because it is there, and look, a lot of people when you look at that school, it does seem like a religious school, and then
yeah.
now we've seen that there are nuns. And so it's kind of all coming together. And then the nuns being fairies is just kind of, it's fitting in now better. So again, my hat goes off to Adam and Edward. I, mm-hmm. I think, they're going where angels fear to tread, but I think they're going to work it out just fine. So anyhow,
yeah.
I also thought it was significant what Snow said to Red when she was telling her to talk to Peter. Snow said to her, "I think you can save everyone," and that seems like a pretty meaningful statement. And
mm-hmm.
and I totally agree. If you listen back to a lot of the first thoughts, there are certain lines that I'll say, "This kind of stood out to me,"
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's a throwaway line.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that there's many throwaway lines here. I really don't think so. Along with "I think you can save everyone," I think there's also an interesting point that Red said, "We could be heroes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to kill the wolf." And, what that would have meant is she would have to kill herself or that side of her, right? So anyway, it's very interesting. And I'll continue email. And I was talking to my husband about it. If Ruby was still a wolf in Storybrooke, and I don't think she is, if you're not a fairy or a cricket or a prince in Storybrooke, you wouldn't be a wolf either. However, I wonder if it's significant that the wolf we've seen in Storybrooke has one red eye. I don't think it's Ruby because she didn't have a red eye in the wolf in the fairy tale land. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will eventually meet someone with one red eye. Thanks for your great work. Hillary in Colorado. That was a great
Thanks,
email.
Hillary.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's interesting.
There are a number of wolves in Storybrooke.
Yes, there
Contrary
are.
Contrary to what Mr. Gold says.
Well, but there are a couple, in Fisk, because there's a couple of them in fairy tales.
Yep.
So
we
wolves
move,
play a big part in fairy
move
tales,
on.
Apparently.
Well, do we dare try this?
Oh,
all right.
Do we try
so
it?
here is something that I created.
Okay.
And it's a little comedy bit. And here we go. I think that I've got the volume fine.
I agree with Brian. I don't think Ruby's Fairy Tale World story is over either.
No. So let's see. Here we go.
What planet have we landed on?
It is the fairy tale planet, Lord Vader.
We will take all the inhabitants prisoner. Who is this old woman?
Widow Lucas.
Widow what?
Widow Lucas.
Lucas. That sounds familiar. Well, Widow Lucas, you have quite a pretty granddaughter. Hey, granddaughter, I'm I'm actually single. You can check me out on galacticmatch.com. So, old woman. Sorry, Widow Lucas. What's your story?
Nearly 80 years ago, I was a child with 6 older brothers, big as oak trees, all of them veterans of the Second Ogre's War. I was supposed to be asleep, but I crawled out on the roof to watch and lay down in the thatch. They had the beast surrounded, the 7 of them. They stabbed it with the splintered end, but it didn't matter. It tore their throats so fast that not a one of them got a chance to scream or pray.
That's a long story. Wow. Okay, all of you here, we can do this the easy way, in which you give up all your weapons and board my ship, or we can do it the hard way. Widow Lucas, what are you pointing at me?
Silver-tipped arrow.
A silver-tipped, I have the Force. I am a Dark Lord of the Sith. And I have this lightsaber. So what you gonna do? You shot me with an arrow.
No!
Ladies and gentlemen, happy post red-handed day.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
And so yeah, that's
I couldn't help it. That was pretty comedy. That was pretty damn funny, I gotta admit.
Just a little comedy there.
We
for
got some
you.
People clapping and okay. laughing and almost falling off the couch in the chat room. That's awesome.
So some people like a little ha ha and some people don't. So I understand.
Well, when the ha ha's funny, then it's really worth it. That was classic.
All right. So anyway,
I got the Force and this lightsaber. So what you gonna do? I'm sorry, that just cracks me up.
Well, now if Mr. Gabe Kuth is listening, hi Gabe, how you doing? This is what Mr. Jeff Roney can do. A little comedy
here
you
and
know.
There.
All right.
So.
That's that for now. Well, my wife is crying. Well, I'm glad no, some enjoyed it, and I know that it's an acquired taste, kind of like sushi. My comedy's like sushi. Some people really love it, and then there's other people.
Yes.
All right. So here.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. So this is an email from Melinda. I mean, how do you come down off of that? You know.
I don't know.
Granny offing Vader with an arrow.
A silver-tipped arrow.
A silver-tipped arrow. I mean, maybe Vader was part wolf. We don't know.
We do.
But he did have a thing for Ruby.
Yes, he did. Your granddaughter's quite lovely.
Wow. Okay.
Anyhow. At least he didn't say she was hot. That would have been kind of scary.
Well. He had his little profile on galacticmatch.com.
Yes, oh my God.
That's not a real site, folks. Please don't sue me if it is. Oh, Lucas is listening right now. Like, oh, I can sue him. Okay. So this is Melinda's email. It said, oh, well. hi, guys. I can't.
Hey, Granny's badass. What can we say?
I know that.
Okay. And, so.
All right, so Melinda's email. Hi, guys. I know you probably get a ton of emails about this, but imprinting, as I see it, as love at first sight. You have a strong draw to a person and can't live without this person. If you guys watch Breaking Dawn, Part 1, when they show Jacob imprinting on Renesmee. Okay, that what she said. He kind of gives a great breakdown of what imprinting is. I will try to find the clip of just that part of Breaking Dawn, Part 1, and send it to you guys. Turning is kind of the same as a vampire changing a person from human to vampire. Thanks, Melinda. Thank you very much for that. I'm a little Twilight challenged, but my wife has seen most of the.
I have not seen Breaking Dawn series. Part 1 yet. That's the only one I'm missing. I've seen all the other ones.
Okay.
And no, I didn't read the books. And okay, I'm not gonna. Anyway, let's just move on. I enjoyed the movies. I thought they were interesting, but anyway.
All right. So, buckle up for this email. This is something else.
Guess who's in the chat room right now?
Who is in the chat room?
Ara.
Wow, fantastic. Hi, Ara.
Hey.
Wow, I'm fanboying now.
Yeah, we are
Ara,
a little bit.
Listen to me. Ara is, she's going to get so embarrassed. Ara is the best voice actress I have ever known.
Yep,
ever.
It's true. She's amazing.
And she's been in a number of my fan audio productions,
mm-hmm.
and you've heard a little taste of what I can do tonight. So very, very happy to have her here. Hi,
yes.
Ara. So it's so
she's
cool.
Blushing. Aw.
So cool.
She's amazing. She really is.
Really, really neat. So Melinda's email here is, it says, Jeff, you got me thinking when you guys were talking about David and his memory loss. What if he stumbled upon the well and drank from it? When I read that, I fell out of my chair. That is brilliant.
Wow.
That's brilliant right there.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll let that sink in. I'll continue to read. Remember, only August and Emma had been there, and no one else had been there. Maybe David was out there searching for Catherine, and he had a drink because he was thirsty. His memory can be cloudy, because in fairy tale land, Prince Charming and Snow don't know who they are right now because of Snow drinking the potion. That's a great theory right there.
Well, okay, so the reason she doesn't know is because Snow drank the potion, but then remember, when the curse happened, she was married to James.
Mm-hmm.
So but I do love,
yeah.
Oh my God.
No, that's love solid. That theory. That's really solid.
Yeah, it is. That theory about the him drinking the water and starting to collect memories again. I remember I said something had to have, maybe he stumbled on, I couldn't figure out what it would be, but that would make total sense. Oh, some people are leaving us. I'm sorry. Bye, folks. To those
Bye-bye.
Who are unfortunately
thanks
having
for dropping
to go.
By. Really yeah. appreciate it. So we will move on. This is Kate's email here.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Kate, aka Mystery Kate 25. Hey, she's in the chat room. This is really neat.
Okay.
I've been listening to your podcast since episode 27, caught up on them within a few days. And as I always say, there's a little badge somewhere for you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's listened from the beginning all the way to the end is just, that's a feat. It's a mm-hmm. feat in Excel. And have been popping into live shows the past couple of weeks. Gotta say, love your podcast. Listening to it throughout the week really helps me get to the next episode. And I love hearing what you both, as well as other listeners, have to say. Certainly fills in some blank spots for me. And I'm sure other listeners as well, since different people notice different things. I was just thinking that maybe over the summer, which we're all going to be going crazy, withdrawals for the next season, a rewatch of season one is in order, and a live show podcast about that each week would likely bring some amazing results. I'm sure going back now, we'd see clues that we've missed. Remember things that have not been answered yet, and come up with some awesome theories for next season. Rereading all the Harry Potter books before each new book came out helped me through withdrawals in forming new theories, and I always, and still do, find new things every time I reread them. I feel the same way about watching Once Upon a Time. There's always something I didn't notice before, and new theories come flying. I'm sure after seeing a whole season, we'll have tons of great new ideas, and it would give the listeners something to tide us over for a bit till the show comes back. Just a thought. One other thing I wanted to mention, listening to all the craft talk renewed my interest in crafting and gave me a perfect idea for a present. I have always loved crocheting, so not sure why I didn't think of it before, but I now work on the blanket I'm making every week alongside the podcast. I'll go back to attempting to knit once that's done, but for now I'm just enjoying crafting alongside Colleen and the other Oncers, and listening to such a thoughtful podcast family. Keep up the great work, and please know that we, the listeners, love and appreciate all that you do to feed our Once Upon a Time habit each week. K, Kate. Thanks so much, and it's a good habit to have. So there's lots of habits, and it's not a bad one. So good, good, good. So.
And yes, I agree. Summertime is going to be a real painful time because, I mean, there won't be a show to watch except in reruns.
There's a lot of discussion here and there about what to do during the summer. And Colleen and I had kind of thought of maybe continuing the live show through the summer. So do one show. It's going to be the live show. And that's we can kind of come together.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether we do a rewatch or whatever, maybe there's going to be some emails and voicemails and that kind of a thing. We'll see how that comes together. But that feels right to kind of give us a bit of a break, but also still continue at least one show a week when we all get together.
And yeah.
Kind of chat and talk. And so I'm up for that. So
yeah.
There's also other things that I will not discuss now. That are in process. So that's kind of true. Really, really exciting. So here is Marlene's email. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Hi, everyone. First, let me say that I love your new computer. You know, I love it too. The sound is so much better on the podcast, much more clear. Thank you so much. Then Jeff, Mr. Guy with the hat that checks the payphone for the change, was sitting in Granny's bar when Ruby walked in to get the grilled cheese for Emma. You could see his face, and you never said anything about him. Every time I see the guy, I think of you and smile. It's the cap guy, and he's always there. You know, I don't know where he works. I don't know what he does, but he looks for the payphone change.
He does. You know,
and it's sad.
It's very funny.
You know.
It is sad.
So anyway, the cap guy. I love this episode. It was mind-boggling. What a great group of actors. Granny, I loved her with the crossbow. So did Vader. Vader really, you know, he learned to respect that. Wow. Amazing. One of you mentioned the wolf in the beginning episodes. I agree. I thought one was Granny, the one that stopped Emma from leaving. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually then Granny would have been involved in two things that would have helped her break the curse.
Yes.
The stopping her from leaving and giving her the key to stay.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Okay. And the other one that helped Graham was Red. Granny said the wolf had eyes so black that it was like they weren't there. And then they put a red eye on the one to give us a clue about the wolf's identity. And then, I agree. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another clue was in the episode when the hunters were at the door and Granny called Red into the room to make sure she was there. Guess I missed both those clues. I get so intent on what's going on during the episode that I miss the clues. The box, I've been rewatching some of the episodes and have not seen that box anywhere. The heart boxes that the Evil Queen used were rounded at the top and free of decoration. Mm-hmm. I think this box belonged to Mary Margaret in Storybrooke. Let us not forget that Regina has keys, lots of them. Mm-hmm. She got into Catherine's house and took the letter she wrote to David. Just Regina is a bad landlord. I don't want anyone with a key walking in.
She's not even a landlord, though. Mr. Gold seems to be the landlord. Remember, he's rented sure property to keys. Everybody. That's true.
She probably made a deal and got the keys and... Lord only knows what she gave up. So,
yes.
Anyhow, so she got into Catherine's house and took the letter she wrote to David to set up Mary Margaret so she could very well have gotten into Mary Margaret's apartment and taken the box and put a heart in it. Hmm. Whose heart is it? I don't know for sure. Catherine's would be the easy guess. And if Regina really wanted to get revenge on Mary Margaret, it would have to be Catherine's heart. As for Regina's father's heart, well... She brought the body there, or at least there's a grave there. So maybe somehow the heart didn't burn in the fire for the curse. But it is his, but I doubt it. Not sure how that would serve the purpose of framing Mary Margaret. If it was Catherine's heart, then Regina has done something to her like she did to Graham. Hmm. We don't know if she has any powers in Storybrooke or not, because we haven't seen her use any. But... I bet she has retained some. You know, that's possible. But she hasn't retained the door closed with the hand swipe thing. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if it was Snow White, Snow's father's heart. Probably all wrong on those guesses. No matter whoever the heart belongs to, it was a stupid move on Regina's part because I think it will backfire on her. I hope that this will make Emma... I hope this will make Emma take things a little more seriously and not share information with Sydney or rely on him. Yeah, we didn't see him. Oh, we see. Oh, no, we saw him once, but not as much. He's kind of and find out the truth. And by the way, what in the world did Mary Margaret go into the woods for anyway? Then met David, and he was disoriented. This is another question to add to the list. And it was also interesting that. There was no umbrella in the episode with the doves. Remember when it was raining and storming
right.
So this again is another situation where an umbrella was used since the Jiminy Cricket Still Small Voice episode.
So,
also, who was the guy in Granny's with his back to the camera at the end of the episode? They made a point of showing that he was there, but wouldn't let you see his face. Another new character? Very, very possible. here's my idea about the background characters. Okay, some people may say, look, Jeff, you're kind of crazy, because it's a background character. Who knows? Who cares? Whatever. But here's the thing. If the background character is not in focus, then I take them off my list. But if it's in focus and you can see him, and he goes and checks a payphone. There's something more to it. And so that's the thing is if you can see somebody in the background, It's like, oh.
We'll see them somewhere down the line.
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of people that are in the town meeting, that.
Well, because we've seen the dwarves in town in other roles.
Right.
So in their storybook.
Mr. Clark and Leroy
right.
and Walter.
But I'm talking besides them. Yep. We saw Dopey. We've seen Bashful in the town hall meeting area. So, I mean, I think we're going to see these folks, you know, in other places.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yep. And another thing, too, is the whole council.
Yeah.
City council people. Who are they? They must be important to the queen, and they must be the baddies.
Well, but so. Here's the thing. Here's the other thing, though. I will say this, because this is kind of just coming into my head, was that remember in the episode The Shepherd, when they were watching James's twin, probably the original James, when they were watching him battle, there were all those people sitting there with these wackadoodle hats on.
They were also at the wedding, too. There was wacky hats in the wedding, yep.
Exactly, but we haven't seen them anywhere else.
Right.
No, maybe we will see them later, but we haven't seen them. You know, they're not key people right now.
I understand there's a hat person coming up pretty quick in an episode. That's all I'll say.
Okay, then.
All right, then.
What if?
Kind of wacky hat. Needs a hat maker. Just saying. All right.
Yes.
So, the fairies have been seen... The fairies we've seen... are three in Fairy Tale Land. The one in Cinderella, the Rumple took care of. That was the fairy godmother. The blue fairy.
Yes.
Hi, Keegan. Hi, blue fairy. And the fairy in Cinderella.
Yes.
The hit fairy. So Nova, blue fairy, fairy godmother.
Yes.
Three.
Yes.
She wore a long gold dress.
Yes.
Not anything like the other two fairies. Right. Where did she go? And... Yeah, I think we're going to see flashbacks of how a fairy actually becomes a fairy godmother and that kind of a thing.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure we're not done with Nova yet.
Oh, no. Even though some people don't like Nova, I think she's perfect for the show. Everybody has their place. Everybody has a role to play.
Yes, they do.
I'm just saying. Okay, did Rumple kill fairy godmother? Or just send her someplace. And that's a viable thing. And actually, that's kind of what I said. Because Rumple asked, tell me where she is. She's the patron fairy of your family.
Right.
And so obviously there was a... Now, I go lost on you. Because the certain point was important to Lost.
Yes.
Because they had that fulcrum thing, and they had to plot a course to get to the island on a plane.
Right.
So I think it's maybe the same type of thing, that location and where she is very important. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've been wondering about her for some time now and keep forgetting to ask about her. I don't think that August is Pinocchio because Pinocchio had red hair in Fairytale Land. Viable point. Not sure who August is, but the name August implies that he is very important. August means venerable, renowned, exalted, great, important, noble. And that's the month I was born in. So there you go. Just kidding. No, I really was born in August. Okay. I keep changing my mind about him. Could he be the wizard that Granny got the cloak from? A guard in the Evil Queen's army? That actually has been asked before. Early on, when he first showed up, is that people thought that he was kind of like, you know, the strong hand of the Evil Queen's army to kind of keep Emma away from breaking the dark curse and all that. And that's still possible. The author of the book, a relative of Walt Disney. That's kind of funny. Pinocchio. Too many possibilities, I guess. Yeah, you don't want to make me. I don't make a list. I'll get in trouble. Whoever he is very important to breaking the curse. Just as important as Emma is. Sort of like he is there to guide her. Thanks so much for all the two of you do. This is one big happy family because the two of us make us feel that way. As I've said before, I've listened to other podcasts and they can't even come close to what this one is. It is the two of you and the interaction with all of us. It makes it more than a podcast, as you always like to say it is. And it's something that I look forward to during the week, as much as I look forward to Sunday night's episodes of Once Upon a Time. May the blue fairy sprinkle you with happy dust. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Sending big love, Marlene. Big love back at you, Marlene. Exactly. Thank you so much.
And by the way, Alira's in the chat room now.
Hi, Alira.
Hello.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. This has been a wild show, Alira. You're going to have to download it later and listen to it. It's been wild and woolly. Wild and wolfy. Okay. So here is Mr. Mark Davis.
Mark.
The master of Photoshop.
Dude, he's and awesome.
The lover of the Evil Queen. I think we all are. I think we're all afraid to not be. So greetings, Jeff and Colleen. That's very regal. See? He's falling in line with the Evil Queen. Hope everything is going well with you and the new computer. It's better every day.
Yes.
Every time you upgrade to a new operating system, there is a learning period. But once you get used to it, you'll enjoy Windows 7. I subscribed to the podcast yesterday. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. It's music to my ears. And listened to it last night after returning from work. Thank you for the kind words regarding the Star Wars movie poster recreation, which I've dubbed Once Wars. Love that. I love that. Funny thing about that piece, I was on the tail end of what would be a 20-hour shift when I read that tweet of yours suggesting I create it. Trying to figure out and list out what pieces I would need to pull that off kept me going the rest of the shift. Okay, what made me a oncer? I don't normally watch a lot of TV. In fact, when the new season started last year, I started watching Grimm and initially loved it. However, after 4 or 5 episodes, I started to be bored with it. So my wife, Julie, suggested I watch this show on NBC called Once Upon a Time, a move I think she is regretting, LOL. I asked, okay, what's the story on this show? She replied, it's a retelling of the story Snow White, sort of. I wasn't too enthusiastic because I never was a fan of the story, but I thought I would give it a shot. One look at the Evil Queen was all it took. Sorry, Colleen. This is the part where Jeff and I are going to bond. LOL. All I kept thinking was, this woman is totally off the hook. Stunningly beautiful and deliciously evil. Oh, and yeah, the story is pretty darn cool too. So I've been hooked ever since. Yes, hooked on the show and Miss Perilla. Mm-hmm. Perea. Okay, moving forward to the fan art. I wanted to start by saying I'm truly humbled by all the positive feedback I received on those pieces. I really don't consider myself an artist and certainly not a professional graphics designer. In fact, I was playing Star Wars The Old Republic, and I'm so jealous of you, and was struck and was stuck on a level and thought, hey, I have a new version of Photoshop. I should play around and get familiar with it. See, that's what happens when you get stuck. You have these epiphanies. So I launched the program and decided I would mess around with the image extraction and layered using images from once. 20 minutes later, I had my first creation, an image of the Queen's Fortress with a ghost image of the Queen peering over the mountaintop. I was surprised it turned out better than I expected, and I thought I should probably share this with the folks that would appreciate it. That led me to Gareth's fan site on Facebook. Gareth is the man, dude. That is such a great site. And I sound like Randy on American Idol. I posted it, and they loved it. In fact, they loved it so much, they suggested I created a Twitter account and gave me the Twitter address of the cast and crew of the show. I started sending these creations to the cast, and the next thing I knew, Lee Ehrenberg responded, asking if he could use the one I sent him for autograph signings. Wow. Followed by Meg, Gabe, Michael, and Faustino. Meg and Keegan and Robert Carlyle also have responded. The one cast member I haven't been able to reach, of course, is the one that's in virtually all my creations, Lana. Lana, if you're listening, throw an old dog a bone. You know, she'll get back to you. She just has so many folks. But she is good, and she interacts really well. So she will, promise. All in all, it's been and continues to be a fun experience. In closing, I just want to give shout-outs to Gareth, Laura, and the crew of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. My wife blames you for me spending all this time creating. To Lee Ehrenberg for consistently proving what an awesome down-to-earth guy he is. Much love, brother. To the Evil Regals on Twitter, of which I'm very proud to be a part of, and to be known to some as Papa Regal. Ah, that's great. Also, rock your horns. See, when I grew up, that used to be a bad thing, but now it's just kind of understanding that, you know, rocking the horns with the fingers, you know, it's just that rocks. Oh, my gosh. It's Gareth's birthday.
Is it really?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, deputies, if you can do something really quick for me, pretty please, find the Twitter address for Gareth. I think it's Once Upon a Time Fans, but please verify that. And once you verify that, can you put that up in the chat? And I'd like everyone who's listening, pretty please, to use that Twitter address and wish him a happy birthday, please. So they're going to double check, make sure that's right. Once they do, go ahead and post that in the chat, please. And we will all wish him a happy birthday. So let's do that. Gareth is a cool, cool cat. So I'll keep reading. Lastly, to you, Jeff and Colleen, for the outstanding work you both do on the show. Keep up the great work. Signing off from the dark side, Mark Davis. Thank you. Thanks for that. That was an awesome, awesome email from Mark Davis. All right. So our next. Okay. All right. So this next email is from Miriam. Miriam? Hello, everyone. Happy Ruby Week, Jeff and Colleen. I believe another Rumple Week is coming up soon. Personally, I miss Archie. That is the truth, actually. Because a lot of the Archie scenes have been cut out. So I'm hoping that they will be included in the deleted scenes of the Once Upon a Time DVD set for season one. I hope, hope, hope. So yeah. I have a theory. In an episode that focuses on a non-central character, the writers need to jam a whole lot of awesome into 40 minutes of that character. Ends up seeming to be made up of 100% awesome. That and Megan Ori's performance did not hurt it either. Neither did Granny when she picked up that crossbow. Now I understand why she's on the war council in the pilot. Great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
That is true.
On the storybook side of the episode, how is it that everyone's fingerprints are on record? I really don't see any storybook. I don't see Storybrooke having a smart card e-government kind of system where everyone's biometrics are on file, which means that Regina is running a police state, an awkward situation since Emma is the police. So you're right. You're absolutely right. However, you know, Regina could have been lying.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, Regina lying, that's totally...
Regina would never lie, would she?
So.
No,
of course not. She looks good lying. Okay, so here's my issue. It's the box. A box with a human heart is a serious issue. It doesn't matter whose heart it is, because unless you're an evil queen capable of ripping a beating, glowing heart out of people's chest, human hearts equal murder, or at the very least, grave desecration. And Mary Margaret's fingerprints were on that box. So how did Mary Margaret's fingerprints get on the box? There are a couple of theories floating around, and I just want to add one or two to them. What if the fingerprints weren't really hers? What if Regina switched the fingerprints records around? Or maybe, please skip to the end of paragraph. You can see, possibly Snow White doing bad things. So
yeah, that's true.
You know.
That's true.
Different points in time, right? You know, we all learn things. And I've never killed anybody. That sounds bad. Anyway, it's just...
Yeah, I would hope not.
No, just...
Something you're not telling me?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I kill time. That's about all I do. All right, maybe wasps. But anyway. So yeah, I mean, it could be that there are some... chicanery with the fingerprints, some flim-flammy stuff going on, or it was in fact her done in a earlier time. So I'll continue. On the whole, a dark episode, and the next one promises to be even darker. I like dark, though I have to say I'm a bit concerned about the 11-year-old I convinced to watch the show. That's a good point. So but, you know, there is something to be said about a story that does go dark because, for instance, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you had no snakes, then Indy would not be a hero.
Correct.
If you did not have these insurmountable odds, there's no hero.
Yep.
And unless someone kind of faces huge mistakes in their life and kind of rectifies or at least... faces them to get over it or whatever, they're never going to grow. And to that's just part of it. So
for those that are not in the chat room, the Twitter account for Gareth is Once Upon a Fan. That's his account. So send him happy birthday wishes.
Please do.
We love Gareth. He's pretty awesome.
He's excellent. He's got one heck of a... website with all kinds of cool stuff.
So, but okay, so back to the whole what's the word I'm thinking of? There you just had, or the conversation about the dark. I know some of the episodes are going to be dark.
Yep.
They just are. I think we talked about this. We may have talked about this on a podcast, but we've for sure talked about it on several other things. And I know I've talked about it on Twitter. Years ago in the early 90s, Disneyland had a parade called Light Magic. My roommate at the time worked at Disneyland. She actually still does. And we got to see the parade before it was really open to the public. And we kind of walked away going, okay, it was interesting, but something just didn't sit right with us. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And so she and her buddies started talking about it and realized it was because it was all happy, sappy. Oh, isn't this wonderful? And there was no conflict. It was just all good and bubblegum and sugar and happiness. And look, nothing wrong with being happy. But at the same time, if you're happy all the time and you have no pain, no sadness, no sorrow, no nothing, it's kind of like what Grumpy said. How do you know what's really happy? You know? And so I think that's the case. We're gonna see some dark episodes. We just are, because we have to see the dark side in order to really appreciate the good and what the characters are gonna go through. So that's just my take.
Well, I totally agree. I've said yeah. I've said what I need to say. So
I think you have. Are you typing? You're I typing am. Out I'm doing messages. That, doing the task you said you were going right to do. Now. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Great.
Is the Ewa Queen turn you on me? What's happening?
What?
What's going on?
Okay. What? Who, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, what have I done?
All right, then. I'm sending it.
I've been
it,
sassy pants it. Today. Now,
you are sassy. Okay. So we have two more emails. And, yep, another long show. Okie dokie.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yep. So this is from Julie. Hi there. I'm obsessed with the show, and now obsessed with your blog. I didn't watch Lost enough to follow it, but my brother didn't miss an episode and often threw Lost Hawaiian themed viewing parties. That's pretty cool. I am thrilled that the show and the blog now allows me time away from work, yeah. the husband and baby. 2 hours per week, show and blog, are the least I can give myself. This time allows me to escape, fantasize, and dream. It's a it's the healthiest thing I've done for myself in a while. Man, it's great.
It's awesome.
Really, really, really cool.
That is awesome.
I'm writing because I think you should host Google Hangouts with your fans, followers, and even cast members. Be an amazing opportunity for fans to interact with each other and share insights, revelations about the show. All you need is a Gmail account and a G+ profile. Think about it. And can't wait to hear your thoughts after Sunday's show. And we'll think about it. I like to take little steps, and I think the chat room has been kind of a major step,
mm-hmm.
and so I am open to new things, I am, but I know that the audience is big, and there's a lot of people get used to certain things, and it's mm-hmm. hard to kind of learn something new.
Yeah.
Just the changing of the chat room in Mixer alone was massive, huge change. So we'll get there, but it's kind of just...
Yeah, it would be interesting to do. I mean, not to say that we won't do it, but just, wow. That would be...
We'll take steps and we'll see.
We'll take that into consideration. Yeah.
Cool.
Because I think it would be fun.
Yep.
We just got to figure out logistics, so.
And this is Shannon. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Greetings from the wet and stormy night in the Napa Valley. And you got to take care of yourself up there, because I know the rain up there is crazy.
We got the storm.
Yeah. We share your pain today. A little bit, yeah, yep. down here. Happy St. Patrick's Day as well to both of you. My once Twitter friends, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. So after I left my voicemail from this past Sunday's episode, I have a couple of more indications that I came across.
Sorry, my Wookiee. Wookiee just barked. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. This is a wild show, man. You know, and this is the one somebody's going to write a review. Like, they're just crazy. Bunch of weird people playing weird things. We're just having fun, folks.
Yeah, we are.
Just having fun.
It's fun.
So a couple of more indications that came across my head, and I was hoping we could further discuss them tonight. I apologize in advance if any of this was further discussed from Thursday night's podcast. I haven't been able to get through it all yet. It has occurred to me what your impression was when David and Mary met in the woods, and if some were looking close enough to notice the look he had expressed on his face, I think, and I'm just taking a shot at it, but I could swear he was looking out there looking for Snow White. Now, we all may choose to differ, which is fine, and maybe he was really looking for Catherine, but in my opinion, my gut ever since that night has spoken and said he's looking for Snow. I'm curious to what happened as well to him that triggered the state of mind. Like maybe the part of his memory is returning. So I'm trying to figure out if this concussion he went through was a good thing or a bad thing. That's a great point, actually. Because sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, a trauma, you know, within a certain level of trauma actually can, you know, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing is, I think it was, I can't remember. I think we got an we got a voicemail on someone that had memory.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was I want to say it was Dave from Michigan's sister. Dave from Michigan's sister. It was Alzheimer's, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Mason. I think
Mason. Oh, it might have been Mason. Yeah.
Sorry if we're getting the names wrong. but here's the thing: is I'm not a doctor. I don't know what concussions can or cannot do. But what I really Mason's enjoy sister. About the show is that, you know, the possibility is there. Because I don't think a writer would not research something, you know. So.
Right. But I agree with Shannon, though. I agreed completely that it was that I felt very strongly that he was looking for Snow White. He wasn't looking for Catherine. Because, again, sorry, it comes back to what we said earlier, what was the theory that was presented earlier. I suspected that he had just stumbled upon like a portal or something into fairy tale world, and it kind of like crossed in his head and started opening up memories for him, even though he had fake ones for a storybook. But anyway, the fact that he probably did, stumble upon the well, took a sip of it. It restored some of his memories, or at least started to open the memories or jog them. And then the last memory he had was of in that area may have been looking for snow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I totally agree.
So I want to go off on a bit of a tangent, and then we'll get back to Shannon's email. Sorry, Shannon. Just we'll get back here. Is I think that it would be interesting to really begin to spot and map out these locations that we've seen.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the most amazing posts that came early on from the deputies was the placement of the tree in front of the Evil Queen's castle.
Yep.
And if that was in fact in front of Henry's play area that has been since torn down, that post generated a response from one of the crew on Once Upon a Time. So I think we're close. And so what I'm saying is, I think that kind of mapping these things out are actually pretty important, because that's what I was thinking of, is the well, where is it in
relation
to Storybrooke?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how do you get there? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we know we're very glad to know Ken from Steveston can kind of give us ideas. And obviously Storybrooke is not Steveston, but
right.
It's where they film part of it. But yeah, it's just keep that in mind. Is we know what happens when you go out of town.
Right.
But how do you get to the well? So anyway, it's just these placements of these things. I don't think I disagree with people that say they're just reusing props.
Yes.
I think that's hooey.
Yeah.
I think it's put there for a purpose. I think it's put there for a reason.
Right.
I think if it looks like something else, it is like something else.
Yes.
So that's my two cents. And I better get back to reading, because I don't want to keep talking about that. I have the feeling that Regina could have been a part of this, maybe not, of David's
issue?
Concussion. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But if we recall in episode 3 of Snow Falls, when he woke up from his coma, he immediately walked out of the hospital and into the woods. I remember Dr. Whale saying he went to find something, and then Henry said not something, but someone.
Right.
Also, from that episode, Henry was quick to point out to them that he, David, Prince Charming, is trying to find you. Henry again says you need to stop chasing him and let him find you. He's looking for you. I just noticed how much he looks fixated on something, as if he's trying to process and or come to grips with things from the past. And I totally agree. Right. I mean, he's looking right through Mary Margaret, but Mary Margaret isn't Snow White. So
correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yep. Now, I totally feel I'm on a soapbox here, and I could be completely off the page with these notions, but that was something I didn't really think about until I watched it again. I just think there's more significance to that scene than some of us may think. What do you guys think? I think you're totally right on the right track. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, here's a point. It came up with one of the voicemails on the last show. Is when you watch The Sixth Sense for the first time, you at the end you go, "Oh my gosh," and you realize the twist. But when you watch it again, you start to see, "Wait a minute,
yep.
That's what that yep. meant." And so. Yep. These scenes and these things and these what Mark Davis is in the house. Hey, Mark.
Yes, he is.
So cool. So cool to see you, man, in the chat room. So when you watch The Sixth Sense again and you see these little scenes and these parts that at one point you say, well, that's just weird. Why would he say that? Or why would he do that? Or whatever. But right. in the end, you see, aha, that's why. And so I can't remember who mentioned it in an email previously, but it's like, yeah, rewatching the whole season, you'll start to say, that's why that happened.
Right.
That's why she said that. That's why he said that. So I think sometimes there are lines that are put in just to put in, but I think everything has some type of purpose to fit in together.
Right.
You know, so, and that's why we have a podcast and a great community and, that's why.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes. That's true. That's very true.
Did you have a comment?
No.
Okay.
No. No, I don't.
Also.
Sorry.
She's getting silly, folks. She's such a Justin Timberlake fan.
It's not that. It's Jimmy Fallon.
Right. Okay.
But it is Justin Timberlake on SNL. So, yeah, that was very funny.
Hi, Jimmy Fallon, if you're listening. I don't think he's listening. I don't think he's listening out there.
Actually, I do want to make a comment.
Okay.
Sorry, I just thought I would make the comment. No, we've talked about this before, and it holds true, and this confirms what you're saying, is that, yeah, when we watched Lost,
yep.
and we got to the end, we've gone back, we've rewatched episodes, and we know what the end result is, and then we're like, oh my gosh, that makes so much more sense now that we saw it. But when you don't see that the first time you watch the show, it can get a little confusing. So,
yep.
Anyway.
So I will finish up Shannon's email here. It says, also my dad, who watches the show as well, made a good point the other day to me about the box in which the heart was in.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say this really quick. I always go off in these tangents, but it does have a purpose. I want to talk about Quentin Tarantino for a second. Okay. Pulp Fiction. Hold on. Pulp Fiction. There was this briefcase. See, early on before Lost, and right around the time the X-Files was on, is Pulp Fiction had a website that talked about this briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know what was in it. You saw it glow when it opened up, but we never saw inside of it.
Right.
And so people theorize what was in the briefcase. And so,
gold bars.
Well, could have been. It could have been.
That's what it was.
You know, but people thought it was the brain of somebody, and there was these different things. And so, anyway, I love when you don't see what's inside a box. And when people say what was inside of it, I never really believe it because I haven't seen it, okay? And so one of the great things we learned from Lost is just because someone tells you something that they saw around the corner, if you didn't see it, I don't know if I trust this person that said they saw it. What did they see? I don't know. I didn't see it. So, you know, we don't know what's in the box yet, okay? So it could be heart. I don't know.
Emma's lying.
Well, okay. I'm just until I see it, I don't know. So anyway, I will continue. He wanted to know why the box was buried. He thought, well, if it's Snow White's fingerprints that truly ended up on that box, maybe she buried it at some point in Fairytale Land. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Others have thought perhaps that maybe Mr. Gold found it in his diggings and maybe put it there. Now, why did you put it there? Why was it next to a river with a piece of wood over the top?
And buried about 2 inches down.
Right.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm a Freebish is in the house.
Hey. The evil Regals are in his house. Is that still a word?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think you're told and too white to say that.
All right.
Sorry.
So I will end the email here. So here's a couple of things to think about. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Colleen. Thank you, Shannon. So.
Yes, thank you. So, and I agree. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Yep. I do.
Yeah.
Keep going. What are you laughing
about? Yeah, Mark Davis is making fun of me.
He is?
For my...
He wants you to say her name.
I'm a
free... Sorry, the Wookiee is growling.
I'm a
free
bitch. That's her name.
Now he's going to howl with laughter.
All right. So... Okay, we're going to end the show, but before we end the show, we need to talk to one more person.
Oh, no.
We need to talk to Louie the Leprechaun.
Really?
Yep.
Are you sure?
You need to call out to him, and they'll come.
Wait, I have to call out to him?
You do.
Why?
You have to believe him onto the show. Hurry up. Hurry up.
Oh, Louie, where are you?
How you doing, Colleen? It's Louie the Leprechaun here on a St. Patty's Day. How you doing?
Great. You sound a little tipsy, Louie.
Well, maybe the NyQuil I was taking was a bit over the limit.
Over the expiration date, maybe?
Whatever.
So or over the limit. What limit? I don't know. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about Mr. Gold.
Oh, Mr. Gold.
Do you know how he got the gold?
No. He
stole it from me. That's how he got the gold.
Really? Are you sure about Louis that?
I just told you.
Yeah, and you're a leprechaun.
That's correct.
So
he followed me to the end of the rainbow, and he stole me a pot of gold, and now he has it in his shop.
Okay, so he's got a pot of gold in his shop.
Yeah, that's how he bought the rest of the stuff. Bought the gold.
Okay, that's an interesting explanation. So what you up to this St. Patrick's Day?
No good, I can tell you that much.
You know, that doesn't surprise me.
I've got Snooky on speed dial. I'm a busy leprechaun.
Please don't drunk dial Snooky.
All right, then. I wanted to wish all the lovely listeners... And Jeff, a wonderful St. Patty's Day. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drink and tweet. Please don't do that because it's always bad, isn't it?
True.
How would you know?
Well, I wouldn't because I don't get drunk.
All right. So I'm going to tell Jeff. So anyway, I wanted to send big love to everyone for listening on St. Patty's Day. Once Upon a Time is wonderful. If the cast and crew are listening, you need a leprechaun. That's really all I'm trying to say.
Well, there are gnomes.
Yes, but we wear really cool hats and magic shoes.
Oh, okay. With little gold buckles.
And we
on.
Dance around.
Yes.
All right. So anyhow, I'm going to leave you now.
Okay. This is really? Are you sure?
This is Louie the Leprechaun. I'm going back to... I need to tunnel under Mr. Gold shop. I'm going to get my pot of gold back.
Yeah, be careful, Mr. Gold. He's a tricky devil.
Well, he is indeed. He has a foundation. It's hard for me to dig through. It takes me a lot of time.
Well, you just get right on that then.
Need to find that rabbit gentleman with the carrot. Help me dig. All right, I'm going to leave you all now. Goodbye.
Okay, bye, Louie.
Arrivederci. I learned that from a friend of mine. Have a great St. Patty's Day. Goodbye from Louie the Leprechaun.
Yes. Where's Jeff? I wish Jeff would come back.
Hello? What happened there? I felt like David. I went into this other space.
Trance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's all good.
Poor Mark. Hang in there, Mark. Okay,
my Wookiee is growling really,
yeah, I know,
really big.
I know. Okay, that's it. We've persecuted some people enough. Hopefully, not too much. Anyway, so have a great evening. Thanks so much, and we will be talking at you tomorrow night.
Yes.
After we see Adam and Edward again. Oh, it's going to be a great day. Great day tomorrow. So you guys take care.
Goodbye,
and
everyone.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.